part two.
Our benevolent heretic was also talking about speaking to the dead through meditation. Yes, that is entirely possible if we're all part of the infinite oneness and consciousness that's all linked together anyway. I see the dead as just being disembodied spirits, and since our mind in this physical reality is actually seen to be electrical signals, is it that entirely improbable that those electrical signals would be able to float free in the rest of the universe? And given that this physical reality is only like 0.5% of the total existence of being, is it that hard to think that an electrical signal could be disembodied and just float around and go as a different entity? Magic spoke of being at the beginning of his learning about meditation. Since meditation brings forth wisdom, and wisdom is a part of always being at wonder with experience, and not seeing them with a biased view, is it not entirely probable that meditation brings about new views without using old forms? Since meditation is wisdom, we have to go around thinking no thought and just use new experience in our meditation. If we sit there thinking, oh, this is going to happen and I want this to happen during contemplation part of meditation, we're going to just keep indoctrinating ourselves with the same thought processes. We just have to keep plucking from the infinite consciousness and what people like to call channel. I like to think of the group consciousness that someone, I think it was Magic, was talking about group consciousness and the creation of a social self through the borrowing of others' thoughts through the infinite consciousness. We don't perceive ourselves as being part of this reality until we interact with other people, which we use their view of ourselves to ground ourselves in this existence. Babies don't know what's going on until they start sucking on their mother's teat. Then their whole existence revolves around, hey, look, there's a boob in front of me, let's suck on it. Oh, is that really an extension of me? And then they see something else and they go, oh, look, maybe the boob isn't part of me, maybe it's part of another person. And that's part of group consciousness, that once we start seeing other people having perceptions of us, we start taking their perception from the infinite consciousness. And that creates our group existence. I remember the second Matrix movie, how it was talking about programs created for a short specific function, i.e. agents, and how the Oracle was talking about those birds, there was something governed to look after those, and there was something governed to look after the weather. Everything has a specific function. It all relates to the infinite consciousness creating spirits or archangels, which are actually just a little composite part of the entire system where they serve a specific function. Like some angels might be put in this world to watch over people to make sure that they are mindful, or some might even be there like Satan, in order to make sure that people are going to continually exist in this reality without achieving higher planes of existence and being sinful and living just for this reality, etc., etc. And Magic also spoke about the solidity of this existence only coming about through a group hallucination. Exactly. We live in a consensus reality and we are surrounded by reality and forces. If we can disassociate ourselves from the reality and forces and stop consenting to this reality, we can achieve higher planes of existence. And that takes a lot of meditation, contemplation, and getting rid of form. If we stop thinking about this world, then we'll not be in it anymore. Which comes back to the group consciousness and the creation of self through other people's perception of you and your existence. Which brings me to the next point of a quote from David Icke, which is, "Hi, I'm everything that exists. Pleased to meet you." "Oh, really? Me too. It's wonderful to meet you." Which means that we are just subcomposite parts of the same infinite consciousness which defines everything that exists in this world. Another point that I like to bring up was that Yarko Finn was talking about meditating pets. Good one. I've been noticing a lot lately that my cat sits around staring at me, and I can just feel like things going through her mind when she sits there staring at me. I don't know if it's called a psychic connection or anything, but I can just sense that there's stuff going on in her mind when she just sits there and does nothing. And pets definitely meditate. Pets can also get stoned and hallucinate, and you'll notice that when cats start running around the room and going crazy, it's like, hey, what the hell's wrong with my cat? She's attacking the bloody wall. There's nothing there. They're seeing spirits and beings from higher planes of existence. So it's not that improbable that animals, being part of the collective conscious, can meditate. In a couple of podcasts later, True American brought up the fact that the more enlightened you are, the more self-deceived you become. I don't exactly agree with that. I could rephrase that to saying the higher tall poppy you are, the more self-deceived you become. But really, if enlightenment is wisdom and wisdom is the ability to perceive the universe without form and without bias, does that mean that enlightenment is simply a paradigm of seeing the world from every and no viewpoint? I can't even remember what the hell I was talking about when I wrote that. The more enlightened you are, it means that this goes back to the wisdom and thinking without form and only experiencing things that come as they are and not perceiving them from a specific standpoint. To be enlightened is to be, quote, a wise man. To be enlightened is to think without form and to experience it without perceptions of your previous existence. Another thing True American brought up was about the lusty beasts. This brings me back to the different archetypes and different specific function entities in this reality. Part of the energy consensi is that they sit there and live for a specific function. Our function is to sit here and rape the crap out of this planet and then try and, what the Christians say, repent for your sins in order to see that this reality is not real and to experience infinite love and infinite consciousness, because all we are is infinite consciousness objectively viewing itself from different standpoints. Without viewing each other and ourselves, we no longer exist in this reality and we become part of infinite consciousness again without knowing. Do we see these energy consensi or spirits as in relation to composite parts of our own ego? Lust, fear, compassion, safety, etc. It seems to be that if we're all part of a different function for the energy consensi and we have no other views except for what we have in our own perception, are we going to see evil critters as being evil because we've only seen that form of evil and we relate them to that form of evil? Or do we see, say, the Archangel Michael as being good and here to look after the humans and to ensure that God's people are looked well after and etc., etc., because we aspire to being that we look after other people? If we didn't believe in looking after other people, would we really understand what the Archangel Michael or the other, you know, archangels and God's angels and whatever, would we really understand what they're supposed to be without knowing what they do? That's just a theory. Oh, thanks for listening. This is Nurki signing out.